Now, as we come to God's Word, we're going to open our Bibles to the book of Ruth and consider Ruth's place in God's story as we are in the midst of 365 days of discovering our place in God's story. Today, we look at the Moabitess, the person called Ruth, and her place in God's story. Coming to this four-chapter book in the Bible titled Ruth, named after the main character, the person Ruth, the Moabitess, who finds her place in God's story. Coming to this book, one of the main themes that we find out, that we discover, a lesson to be learned, is that choices matter. Even the little choices that we make in the everyday course of living can have significant impact on our future. Who we're going to spend this day with can matter as much as who we intend to spend the rest of our life with, or the season of our life with. Who's going to be our friend, who's going to be the person that we come alongside in this season of life. Where we're going to live can dramatically impact our future. Who we serve today, the person that we decide to help today, could influence our future. Certainly, who we give our heart to, who we share our affections with, who we choose to marry impacts our future. Making right choices places us in the greatest love story ever. Like Ruth. You and I can find our place in God's love story by making choices like Ruth. And she made four choices that I want to highlight this morning, and they directly impacted her place in God's story. She found herself in the midst of one of the greatest love stories ever told. And so, like Ruth, you can first of all make the choice to identify with God's people. Ruth chose to identify with God's people. In Ruth chapter 1, we find a Hebrew family, the family of Elimelech, leaving the region of Bethlehem, of Judea, and going down to Moab. Elimelech takes his wife Naomi, and he takes his sons Mahlon and Chilion, and he takes them to Moab. Now, he makes choices. Elimelech makes choices based on the circumstances in life. There is famine in the land. There's no food in Bethlehem, which is ironic because Bethlehem means house of bread. But there's famine in the land, and rather than asking God, what's the famine about and what do we do about it, he takes his family and moves to Moab where there is food. And it's a costly decision. While there, Elimelech dies. While there, his two sons marry Moabite women, and both of his sons die. And now Naomi, a widow, with two daughter-in-laws who are also widows, Naomi makes a choice to return to Bethlehem. And Ruth makes a choice to come with her. Ruth makes a choice to identify with God's people. Notice the text in Ruth chapter 1 at verse 16. Ruth says to Naomi, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. And so Ruth chose to identify with God's people. And she does so against the counsel of her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law's counsel to Ruth and to Orpah is that they both return to their families. Go back to your home. Go back to your family and find a man among the Moabites to marry, that you can have a family in your own country, in your own hometown. If you come with me, you may be destined to live the life of a widow. You might be destined to live the life of poverty. I don't have any more sons to give you in marriage, and even if I was to have a child today, you wouldn't want to wait for them to be of marrying age to marry them. That would be foolishness. Go home. And rather than follow the counsel of her mother-in-law, Ruth says, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from you." She chooses to identify with God's people against the counsel of her mother-in-law. She chooses to identify with God's people despite her difficult and impossible circumstances. It is quite likely that she will live her entire life as a widow in a foreign country. And she will live in poverty. But she chooses to identify with Naomi and with Naomi's people and Naomi's God. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And she leaves the unknown, she leaves the known of Moab for the unknown of Bethlehem. And she does it by identifying with Naomi and her people. Who we align ourselves with in life matters. As a teenager, who we are friends with matters. Who we hang out with, who we text, who we Snapchat with, who we interact with, who we align ourselves with in our teenage years can impact our future. Who we party with in college can impact our future. What people we identify with in life will shape our future. And the question is, will we identify with God's people? Well, how do we do that? We choose to become an active part of a local church. That's what it is to identify with God's people today. We identify with a local church when we're away at college. We find a church to belong to, a small group to participate in. We identify with God's people on campus and campus ministry. We identify with God's people in the community in which we live, going to a local church. We identify with God's people, and we then find a context in which we grow in our knowledge of God and grow in our service for others. The choices we make in terms of who we identify with impacts our future. And like Ruth, we ought to make the choice to identify with God's people. Second decision that Ruth made and that we need to make is a decision to serve others. I like the way that Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talks about how we choose to serve others. And I'll go read it. Philippians chapter 2. Guidance for serving others. He says, chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking out merely for your own interests, but look out for the interests of others. And in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage, but made himself nothing, taking on the very form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to death on the cross. If we're going to make right choices that impact our future, one of those choices, and it may happen multiple times in the course of a day, much less in the course of a year or a lifetime, we need to keep on making the choice to serve others, to put others' interests ahead of our own interests, to serve them as we are serving Christ. And Ruth the Moabitess, now that they're back in Bethlehem, makes a choice to serve her mother-in-law, Naomi. She says to Naomi, let me go out to the fields and pick leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Now, in context, it's not fall where we think of harvesting our beans and our corn. It's actually in the spring of the year, it's probably April, and it's the time of barley harvest in the land of Judah. And Ruth is following the word of God in order to serve and provide for her mother-in-law. This Moabitess, who has identified with God's people, has also identified with Yahweh and his word and understands his word. She is living out Deuteronomy 24:19 at this point. Deuteronomy 24:19 says, when you're harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, don't go back and get it. Leave it for the foreigner, leave it for the fatherless, leave it for the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in the work of your hands. And so she's going out at the time of barley harvest into the fields in order to serve Naomi. She says, let me go. She's probably asked this question before, and Naomi has said, no, it's not safe to be among all those men. And Ruth says, no, let me go. And let me pick up the grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. So Naomi says, go ahead. Verse 3, so Ruth went out and entered a field and began to glean behind the harvesters. And I love the scriptures. The scripture continues in the NIV. As it turned out, or we could say, it just so happened that, a coinkydink, no, it's a providential moment in the life of Ruth, because she made a choice to serve her mother-in-law. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech, a wealthy and prominent man at that, and single. Yeah, that's not in the text, but it's there. And verse 4, another coinkydink. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem. At that very moment, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem. Hmm. Ruth's service, motivated by loyal love to Naomi. Let me go to the fields. Reiterated to the overseer, to the foreman, overseeing the laborers doing the harvest on behalf of Boaz. The overseer, Ruth says to him, "Let me glean and gather behind the harvesters." And later she says to Boaz, "Let me find favor." From Ruth's perspective, she has randomly picked a field to glean in, but God has providentially led her so that she comes face to face with the one man that God has chosen to redeem her and marry her. Ruth finds her place in this love story because she chooses to humbly serve Naomi in the most humiliating of fashions. She not only has identified with God's people, but now she's identified with the poor, with the foreigner. She is one. With the widows. She is one. And God brings her face to face with the man who will redeem her and marry her. Ruth's choice to serve Naomi provided God the opportunity to provide her food, to show her favor with Boaz, and to guide her steps toward a divinely ordained future. Ruth chose to serve others. How about you? Will you determine with me to enter a day, even this afternoon, to enter the day with the mindset of a servant and ask yourself, who is it that God is going to bring into my life this day that I might serve? It might be your wife, it might be your children, it might be your parents, it might be a relative, but it might be someone who you don't even know, someone who is stranded on the side of the road. Hard to know. But who will you keep your eyes open and watch for an opportunity to serve others, to set aside your own interests for the sake of the best interest of others? It may be that God uses that as a means to provide for them, to provide for you, but it may be that God also uses that as an opportunity to include somebody in the greatest love story ever told, the story of Jesus and his redeeming love. Third choice. Like Ruth, you and I can make a choice to steward our affections. And this is true in our teenage years, as it is true in our 80s, in all of life. We need to make choices every day to steward our affections. Who is it that we will give our affections toward? Now, in the example of scriptures, we find that Ruth is widowed in chapter 1. But she's not desperate for another husband. She would be content to live the rest of her days as the daughter-in-law of Naomi, as a widow living life with another widow among God's people. She's not desperate for another husband. She is content. She has already said no as a steward of her affections. She has already said no to possibilities in Moab. Naomi had said to her daughters-in-law in chapter 1 at verse 8, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house, and may the Lord show you kindness if you've shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant each of you to find rest in a home of another husband." And Ruth's reply, verse 16, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn my back from you." She's saying, there is no husband for me in Moab. There is no future for me in Moab. I tie my future to you, Naomi. Where you go, I will go. I tie my future to your people. Your people will be my people. I tie my future to your God. Your God will be my God. And she has said no to the possibilities in her hometown. She didn't live in the day of Facebook, but I can imagine that in Bethlehem, she wouldn't be looking back at her high school classmate saying, what did I miss out on? Because her mind was forward. She was identifying herself with God's people, and she knew how to be a steward of her affections. She wasn't going to give them to another Moabite man. She's also rejected most of Bethlehem's possibilities. When she is introduced to Boaz, and Ruth comes to understand by Naomi that Boaz is the man who could redeem her and marry her, she follows Naomi's instructions and goes to the threshing floor at night and snuggles up next to the feet of Boaz to indicate that she is willing to be his wife if he is willing to redeem her as her kinsman redeemer. And Boaz's response is insightful. He has paid attention, and he observes that Ruth is a steward of her affections. He says to her in verse 10, "The Lord bless you, my daughter. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier," meaning his kindness to her, kindness to Naomi. He says, "You've not run after younger men." In other words, you've come to Bethlehem to live among God's people, and you haven't been chasing after young men. You haven't been going to the clubs to dance the night away and to find someone young and vibrant. You haven't been on Match.com looking for the hot toddy. You have not run after younger men, rich or poor. You're offering yourself to me. Unbelievable. Ruth has been a steward of her affections. She said no to the possibilities in Moab. She said no to the many possibilities in Bethlehem. And she has said yes to Boaz and God's purposes. She is willing to wait for God's best, even though she doesn't know the outcome. When Boaz gets up off the floor in the morning and she goes back home to Naomi, Boaz, she doesn't know if she'll be married to Boaz at the end of the day or she will be married to another man who redeems her at the end of the day. But she trusts God. Will I wait for God's best? Is the question. Some of you may be familiar with a man named Mike Holmgren. Anyone familiar with Mike Holmgren? Few of you Packer fans in our midst. Mike Holmgren was raised in a Swedish-American evangelical home, raised in the Swedish Covenant Church in San Francisco. He lived on the second floor flat with his family above his grandfather's bakery, and they lived just a stone's throw from the San Francisco 49ers football stadium. At an early age, he caught football fever. At age 11, he trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. At age 12, he met Kathy. Whoa, the woman of his dreams. At age 15, he asked her to marry him. Oh, what a love story. And Kathy said, no. No. See, Kathy was a steward of her affections. She loved the Lord first and most, and she had determined in her heart that she would serve the Lord as a missionary. But Mike loved football first and most. In fact, in high school, Mike was chosen or honored as an All-American quarterback across the whole nation. He went to UCLA and starred at UCLA. But Kathy said no, because she was a steward of her affections. Her heart was first and most for the Lord. Sometimes being a steward of our affections means saying no to someone's invitation to love. I'd say maybe often. And yes to the one that God says is, this is the person who is best for you. Like Ruth, we need to be stewards of our affections. Finally, like Ruth, we need to make the choice to trust our Redeemer. Ruth trusted her Redeemer to act on her behalf. That evening that she presented herself to Boaz on the threshing floor at night, he promised to her this promise in Ruth chapter 3, verse 12. It is true that I am a guardian redeemer of your family. However, there is another one more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian and guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. I will do it. So Ruth goes home to Naomi and reports what happened that night on the threshing floor. And Naomi says, oh, Ruth, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, because this man, Boaz, he will not rest until the matter is a settled issue today. Your Redeemer is going to act on your behalf, and he will not rest until the matter is settled today. And like Ruth, we need to trust our Redeemer. Now, in Ruth's case, the Redeemer kept his word. He met with this relative before the men of the city and told him that there was an opportunity to redeem the land of Elimelech. And he thought that was a good idea, could use more land. But that with the redemption of the land, there came the widow, Ruth, as well. And the guy fudged then. He said, well, you know, wait a minute. If I take Ruth as my wife, her children aren't my children. Her children are Elimelech's children. And the inheritance of those sons will go, my inheritance and their inheritance will go with them. I pass. I cannot redeem because it will endanger my own estate. You go ahead and redeem, because I cannot. The unnamed kinsman knew that the sons Ruth bore him would not carry his name, but the name of Elimelech's sons, and he would lose the estate. But Boaz was willing to pay any price to redeem the woman and her estate because he loved her. What a wonderful picture of Christ and his relationship to us. His love for us. He did not redeem us with silver or gold, but by paying the debt of our sin with his death on the cross. God, by his goodness and mercy, has been pursuing you and I all the days of our life. Psalm 23:6. And our response, our right response, is to stop, surrender, and trust our lives to our Redeemer. to trust Jesus to redeem and restore our life for our good and his glory. Mike Holmgren's life didn't end with Kathy saying no to him at age 15. But he thought his life had ended when his career in the NFL was just cut short. He played for UCLA and was drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals and was cut during the preseason. The Jets picked him up, the New York Jets picked him up, considering that he would be a good backup for Joe Namath. Well, you ever hear of Joe Namath? You ever hear of Mike Holmgren, the quarterback? No. He was released from the Jets. And he writes, "I was crushed. All that had mattered to me in life was playing pro football. And now it would never happen." The flight home from New York was the longest 5 hours of my life, and I felt like a failure. He said, "I went to my bedroom and I was depressed and I closed the door. And in my bedroom, I found my old dust-covered Bible. Bible I received at age 11 when I trusted in Christ. A Bible that I had neglected because of my pursuit of football." So now I thumbed through that old dusty Bible and I came to the first verse of scripture that I ever memorized in Sunday school. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Assurance of God's guidance. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." And I got on my knees and I surrendered my life to Christ. Shortly after recommitting his life to Jesus Christ, the girl that he met at age 12 returned for home assignment from her missionary term in Zaire. He proposed marriage again. This time she said, yes. They were married, and Mike got a job as a football coach at Lincoln High School, his alma mater, and then became one of the greatest and most successful NFL coaches in America, head coaching the Green Bay Packers and the Seattle Seahawks to Super Bowls. He writes this, the one who wears a Super Bowl ring. He says, "Win or lose, I realize that only one thing really matters. And it's not my Super Bowl ring. It's the crown of life that Jesus Christ has purchased for us through his death on the cross. That is the only thing that matters." Learn with Ruth, learn with Mike to trust your Redeemer, because he will act on your behalf. He will redeem and restore your life like he redeemed and restored Ruth's. Make right choices. Warren Wiersbe observes this book of Ruth, begins with a funeral and ends with a wedding. Couldn't ask for a better love story. It opens with famine and closes with fullness. Ruth's love for her mother-in-law and her willingness to obey God's word brought her into joy and blessing. The choice she made in chapter 1 determined her future. And the choices that we make in the course of our life shape our future. You can find your place in God's love story, just like Ruth, by first choosing to identify with God's people, choosing to serve others, not merely yourself, choosing to steward your affections, and ultimately choosing to trust Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, the one who loved you and gave himself up for you. We're going to take a moment just for quietness. And before the Lord, you tell him that your desire is to make right choices today. Let's take time to pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the one who is pursuing us in accordance with your goodness and mercy, that we might know you and enjoy you both in this life and for eternity. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would make good choices. Choices as to who we will identify with in the course of our life. Choices concerning who we will serve. Choices concerning our affections. And the ultimate choice of trusting you day by day, moment by moment, in difficulty and in times of blessing, knowing that you are at work for our good and your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name.